Cool. All right. I'm here today with casting director Jen Presser. Jen, how you doing? Thanks for joining me.
I'm good. How are you?
I'm all good. That's my super formal intro done and out of the way, and now we can talk like we can talk like human beings. Yeah, I mean, thanks for joining me. I know we've kind of back and forth a little bit on scheduling this, which in my eyes is like a good sign. So, you know, a lot of times I've scheduled with people in the past and they're like, yeah, when are you free? I'm free like whenever you want. COVID's locked us down and like whenever. But Now I'm finding scheduling for people is a little bit tighter again, which to me says people are busy again. So is that kind of the lie of the land for you? Have you been pretty busy with projects in the last however many months?
Honestly, yeah, it has. Ever since about, I'll say, like March, April, I feel like that's when the calls started coming in again and things started getting picked up. And I mean, you still have some productions who are a little bit more on the wary side of going back. But I've noticed that like a lot of people who are either like getting ready to go right before COVID and had to shut down, or who've kind of been working on stuff during the downtime are like ready to go. It kind of depends on each like producer's comfortability with it, but I've been solidly working since probably about April, May, and it's one of those things where I'm like, I've done it a couple of times where I'll be like, yeah, I can do this, and then you know you get the call and you're like, okay, now I don't have the time now because it is the schedule is just so unpredictable. But I just finished a movie up a couple weeks ago and finally have calmed down a little bit to have a little bit of free time, which is nice. So. But I'm glad to see it's back.
Well, it's good to have the breathing space though too, right? Like I suppose the lesson of everything going off for however long it was kind of like, oh, okay, this is what it's like to take a break and that's okay. And how do you kind of fuse that back into being busy again, but not just work, and then you have like one day at Thanksgiving.
Exactly. And I think it kind of, I mean, I hope COVID gave a lot of people, I know it did for me, like kind of that mental break of like, okay, this is what life should be. Like I shouldn't stress myself to the max and I shouldn't worry about certain things. But also in that vein, it stressed me out a lot because it is like, you know, I was just getting out on my own and then it all shut down. And it's like, you kind of got to keep the momentum. And that part became pretty hard. And so I'm glad that like things are back in the sense of like working. I'll just be happy when like networking is back because Then we can like, you know, continue to work on getting our stuff out there. But I honestly, it's like, as you know, I am taking the whole month of December off. So it's been awesome to just like know that like I have, especially, I mean, this last movie I came off was really intense and a ton of roles and just like super, super busy. I don't think I took a day off. And now it's like one of those, that's one thing I love about production is once you're done, you can walk away and then you're just like, okay, I can take a break for however long I want now.
How do you calibrate those kind of step changes in energy, right? Because it's interesting, like from an actor's side, you get super immersed in a role, you're on set for weeks, months, and then you're not. And to your point, like you're involved in a different stage maybe of the journey, but you're still hyper involved. And if you don't have another monkey vine to kind of sort of springboard onto, and you're just going to take a break, how do you find like that's easy, or do you find that can be a bit of a weird reacclimatization process? I'm curious about like the shift.
It's really odd because it is like, I think it is similar to other aspects of the industry where it is like you go, and then you just stop. There is some like here and there, like some, you know, a little bit of like cleanup work after the fact, but it is like as soon as production starts going, like casting kind of just like goes to the wayside on films, I should say, TV are still going. But it is kind of this odd like sense of like, okay, I was just super busy. I was getting, 500 emails a day, 40 phone calls, and now silence. Like it is like a very, and I think it takes like unique people in all across the industry to be able to do that because most people would be like, oh no, what's going to happen now? I do think I've kind of learned to balance of like, I see it as I always just travel or take breaks when I get them. And I think some people maybe don't have that perspective in the sense of like, they just want to go. And they get more wrapped up in when's my next project coming? What if I never work again? And like, I used to have bosses like that who just would stress so much that they would never work again. And I'm like, you've worked in the industry for 20 years. How do you think like, of course you're going to work again. It just might not be tomorrow. So But now being on my own, I do get that sense. Cause like once this movie was like starting to peter out, I started to get some of that in my head of, or that self-doubt of like, oh my gosh, what if that was my last project ever? Like, what if no one ever wants to hire me? And then I started talking to people who I have, you know, upcoming projects with, it's just a matter of when. And I was like, oh no, you have stuff. So just like, enjoy this time off, like take, and that's why I'm like, I'm just gonna go travel. And cause I find that, you know, the minute you kind of get out of the Hollywood bubble, at least you kind of relax a little bit and you're not so into that whole, like, I must do all things all the time. Like, you know, just stay relevant, you know? So, that's kind of where I feel like it's, I kind of try to manage it. I think everyone's kind of different in their own respect of like, you know, cause some people do just love to jump to jump to jump, you know, and kudos to them. I need breaks. Like, it's mentally tough on me. So I would much rather just take what I can. And I try to, like, when I find myself spinning out a little bit in my own head and being like, I don't know what's coming next, and I need to like work harder and whatever, find my next project, I try to like rein myself back in and just be like, calm down, you know, something will come.
And yeah, I mean, like, you take those breaks and you're going to come back with a different energy. And also, I suppose, you're kind of informing yourself as a person with new experiences and new things you can maybe bring to your work. And, you know, it's, yeah, it's that kind of thing of not being desperate for the next job, which is something that obviously from the actor side is an easy trap to fall into too. But I just think it's super fascinating because the parallels are very similar to what the actor goes through. It's still being a creative person. And so I think for actors to hear that is, I don't know if reassuring is the right word, but I suppose it's more just like, we're all in the same kind of boat, I guess. And that it's okay to take time to do your own thing and have a vacation, mm-hmm, and experience life a little bit. Cause
you, yeah, know,
like, well, we said before we started, 2021's gone like that, right? So the time flies.
Yes. Yeah. No, it's so true. And it's like, you, before, you know, I mean, I feel like, again, you know, I think it's a meme out there on the internet somewhere, but it's like, you know, everyone in their head still thinks it's 2020 because like 2 years just went by.
I think it's 2019. Forget 2020. Yeah. Like, I...
yeah, it's just so crazy. Like how time just like stood still for 2 years. And to me, that blows my mind because I'm like, where did 2 years of my life go? Like, what do I, you know, because, and I think part of it is measurable. Like, you don't really have a lot to show for those 2 years in the sense of like, maybe you learn new skills or whatever. But I mean, you know, I feel like as adults, we're driven by our work at some point. And you're like, when you don't see any of those results coming out, you're like, what just happened?
And because we're so project-based, we kind of measure it based on, oh, that's the year I did that project or that film or that show or something that's kind of, you know, I joined that particular circus for that period, as opposed to like, well, I was just working my regular job that's a 9-to-5 in perpetuity. So especially, mm-hmm, in what we do, it's super earmarked by like really specific moments. And yeah, you're right. I think for me, it was, didn't make anything, but I guess it was marked by what I watched, like Tiger King followed by, yeah, this, like, that's the only marker I have for the different phases of 2020. It's what shows, yeah, I was binging.
Yeah. I mean, the fact that there, we like Tiger King kicked off quarantine and now there's a season two. I mean, this shows how long it's spanned. Like, they made a whole nother show about him. Whilst, exactly, we've been locked
out. So. I mean, I also just think the fact that that kicked off quarantine was a foreshadowing that should have told us what was lying ahead for the rest of us, right?
I know.
Can we move back a little bit to the project you just worked on, or the ones you have been working on? I'm going to assume, and correct me if I'm wrong, that these have been more like independent films. Is that kind of the wheelhouse? So
yeah, that's mainly my world.
What's that been like as a process for them, as much as you're able to sort of garner from your position? And I'm talking really from the financial side, because I know indie films always, you know, the finances are extra tight in some ways, and it's sort of super on a razor's edge. With these COVID markups and having to obviously do all the testing and the extra budget that puts in, how did that factor into the conversation? And did that even overflow and spill into, I guess, your role in terms of casting these actual projects?
Yeah, so it was really interesting because I cast one movie during, like, prior to the vaccine being out or anything, like, so it was like super strict protocols and living in a bubble and that kind of thing. And it does put a massive constraint on your budget because, and again, I'm not a reliant producer, so I don't want to like overset my space, but like from what I understand, like those COVID costs just ate a huge chunk of their budget that used to go. And it's like, so you're like trying to scrape by, like, what can we pull this money from? Because with indies, you have such a finite budget. And you really, I mean, it's coming usually from one investor or one financing company. And so to get them to understand that you need an extra $200,000 for COVID testing alone, I think that's something where they're like, no, like, it just makes that risk for them even more. So the one I did during like last year, during 2020, it was really interesting to kind of like be a part of that process, because we did have to, you know, make sure that we were being very conscious on the budget of like how much we were paying cast, how much, you know, because on top of it, even the local cast that we were bringing in for the shoot, like one day of work, our production decided to put them up in a hotel, even if they live two blocks away. They had to come stay in the hotel 2 days prior. They had to be alone. They had to test. Like, so it was this thing where that in of itself, you know, where usually we could save some money by casting somebody locally. At this point, it was not, that wasn't even existent. We had to spend the budget to put them up to make sure we didn't get shut down. And that cost to our producers was better than shutting down the production if somebody brings on, you know, brings COVID to the set. So that was really interesting. But I think it's start, especially with the vaccines and things that are happening, I think it's starting to become more open in the sense of, I have to say, on this last one that I just finished up, it was intense. It was a lot of roles, and it was a lot of the vaccine SAG mandate / you know, requirements, whatever you want to call it, was rough, honestly, because it's like it adds more work on our plate of like trying to figure out what the SAG rules are, what we can say, what we can't say, how we can prove it, if somebody has exemptions, like all. I started to learn all this stuff, and I mean, I was on the phone with SAG almost every other day for a while, just being like, can we ask this? Can we do this? Like, because I don't want to get in trouble.
Sure. And, you know, more admin, because I know you guys love admin, so it's always good to get more of exactly. That your way.
More paperwork, my favorite thing. Mm-hmm. So it's just been, it's been an interesting, like, seesaw, because indie films are the ones that are going right now. I still think, you know, there are studio films going, but they're the studios are more concerned, and they have the time and the money to wait. Indie film doesn't. So they're willing to take the risk on stuff right now. Mm-hmm. But it comes at a cost to them. So then it's like, where can we cut the budget, or where can this halfway, you know? And so not to say it comes back on cast, but that's all I know. I mean, I'm sure like art department's getting, you know, their budget cut, but then we get the pushback of like, well, can we get this person for scale, or da, da, da? Like, it always comes back to the money. And it's not because we don't think the actors are worth it, you know, or that they're only worth X amount. It's because they literally just don't have the budget anymore. But then you have the other side of it too, the acting side, where actors didn't work for a year and a half for the most part. So most people are like, yeah, sure, I'll work for scale. I just want to work again, you know? And so it's been a really interesting kind of, like, back in June, I did something, and it was like, you know, vaccines were out, but it wasn't mandated yet. And it was, again, so we had to follow all the old COVID testing protocols. But again, it was right when things were starting to like go again. So we got, I mean, it was a really small budget film, but it was with a really fun director and producer that I wanted to work with. And I doors is open. People were like, do you want this person? Do you want this person? And I was like, I would never get this person in normal times for like a very, very low budget indie. Like, so it was kind of like, it was kind of like the wild, wild west of like, you can have anybody you want because everyone just wants to work.
And were you asking those questions about those particular people, or was it just coming to you? Because, like, to your point, you wouldn't normally ask, because you kind of would just assume that on this rate, they're not going to be interested. But
yeah, a lot of the times it comes from like our relationship with agents or managers. Sure. Where I'll call them and I say, like, hey, I'm doing this $1 million indie. Like, it's pretty cool. It's like a 1 or 2 day thing. We don't have much money, but what do you think? And I usually will ask for like somebody smaller, or somebody, you know, somebody I know personally or something like that, and be like, hey, are they even open to working right now? What's the deal? And they'll be like, yeah. And then if that person's not available, they're like, no, but like, what about this other person who might be great? And again, there were times where I was like, really? Like, we can get that person for this? Like, that's pretty awesome. So it kind of is like a back and forth of like, whether, or, you know, we put out breakdowns, as I'm sure you know. So like, if they see the breakdown go out and they're like, hey, this person really wants to work and they'll come, you know, shoot for a couple of days in LA, like, great. So, it kind of is a mesh of ways of how things happen, but it's mostly from a relationship standpoint of like, people don't just come to me and be like, I want to work, Jen, put me in whatever. But no, sure. Something.
Yeah. I kind of been through some kind of already existing channel as opposed to someone just randomly finding your yeah. email. But yeah, I mean, yeah. the fact that they're offering, you know, clients that wouldn't normally be up for that is interesting. Do you feel like that's maybe symptomatic of a very specific moment in time that we've been in or are in? Or do you maybe feel that perhaps for some actors, at least, who are more air quotes named, they would still be open to that down the line, even when stuff's busier? I know it's a really hard fortune telling question to ask you, but what's your gut?
Yeah. My gut is that it's a once in a lifetime, like a once one off time thing. Like everybody was just like so starved for work. And, like, I think we all kind of saw the writing on the wall that the industry wasn't going to really help us out anymore. Like, it's like, you know, we had like our unions helping us and, you know, studios helping us and stuff. And then it kind of, once the vaccine came out, it just kind of was like, everyone, I felt like, at least this is my personal opinion, is I kind of felt like they were like, okay, now you can work again. So we're no longer going to like give you hours or give you money or, you know, things like that to help you pay for your health insurance and things like that. And that's where I've seen a big shift where like, especially actors are like, we need X amount of days or hours to keep our health insurance. So I'll take anything sure. just to log yeah. those. And I mean, I feel like it was a bit of a harsh reality that Hollywood gave in that respect. I don't think they realized that, like, you know, you can't just cut it off, you know, you have to ease people back in, especially when you don't have, you know, all the work that we used to have, because it is still not what it, clearly it's not back to what it used to be, but it is, it's not as easy just to like go out and get hours and, you know, XYZ sure. for your health insurance and stuff.
And that's
that.
Something you so. Definitely want right now. It's like, what if you, I mean, you always want it, but especially now. So
yeah,
it's interesting when you so okay, if we circle to what a normal time would look like and you're getting a new project mm-hmm. and they want you to cast it. And I'm sure sometimes the producers are sensible and know that super named actor isn't really going to be available for that project. And others, they're like, I want that person or someone of that ilk. And you're like, it doesn't add up. How do you kind of go about having those conversations? How does the sort of brainstorming around that work to get to a place of harmony, if you do reach a place yeah. of harmony?
Yeah. It's interesting because the majority, I'll say like 90% of directors and producers understand the level that they're playing at. And so, but like I did have a director this year who I won't name, but she just like, she wouldn't listen. It was like, no matter who told her, whether it was, you know, a A-list star's agent, manager, me, the producer, anybody, she just didn't believe it. She just didn't believe it because you always hear the Cinderella stories of, oh, well, you know, Julia Roberts joined this, you know, or Matt Damon joined this small thing. But it's usually because the director or producer has some kind of establishing relationship with them. And they're like, yeah, I'll come shoot for a day or two and, you know, help your movie out. But it's like usually like a 20-year relationship. You know, it's just like these very unique stories that part doesn't get told. But all that everyone else sees is, oh my gosh, Matt Damon was in this really cool, you know, like scene in this or, you know, and so it's like, it's a frustrating thing when you're dealing with somebody like that, because all you can do is say, okay, we'll try, we can try, but then it's walking a tightrope because you don't want to look like the one person being the casting director going to the agents and manager saying, I know this is crazy. I know he's not going to do it, but we have to make this offer. And they pretty much say, well, he's never going to do it, or he or she's never going to do it. And you're like, okay, well, now how do I go back and relay that? Because she already didn't believe me. And then it becomes like a, well, did you talk to Matt Damon personally to see, like, did he read the script? Because and my favorite line from directors and producers is, but it's, this script's different. It's like, if I had a quarter or a dollar for every time I heard, well, this script is special. Sure. And I'm like, and I have to admit, like, I love pretty much every project I've ever worked on, and I do believe in them, but it's like one of those things where it's like, yeah, but everyone says that. Everyone's project means something.
Yeah, everybody thinks that their child's the best child and is going to be the next president of the United States. Not all of them. Let's be honest. Some kids aren't always super pleasant. Yeah. It's just the truth.
Exactly. And, you know, and I think sometimes when directors or producers who don't understand that, they come in and they just say, well, you know, I want to, you know, if I just had the chance to like pitch them my thing, or, you know, they just have this like kind of unrealistic mentality. And it's like, if you just would listen for about 2 minutes and like, you know, find out who's actually right and good and who wants to do this, or use it, because usually if you go to an agent of like an A-list star and, you know, for a really, you know, a small budgeted movie or something like that, and clearly they're going to say no, then it's going to be, they're going to come back and say, no, but like, what about this, you know, B-list star who is really looking to do this kind of genre? And that's the other thing is like, they don't understand is, you know, they don't know what that actor has in the can. So it's like, what if they just, let's say you wanted them for a historical drama. And it's like, what if they just finished one? And they're like, no. And they already told their team, no, I don't want to do another one back to back. I want to do something different. You know, it's like, there's all these conversations that sometimes, you know, the creative heads don't always think about or put into play. And I do think there's something to be said for like pushing back and like, if you really believe in something, trying for it. But I will say it's much nicer to work with the other 90% of directors who are just like very open, and you say no, you know, and you explain why. I mean, I never just say no, like you're never going to get that person. And it, again, if somebody really believes in it, sure, I'll go make the offer. But I always try to be realistic, because a lot of times in indies, the leads and, you know, the bigger name people are the reason for the financing and how much money, or, you know, it might already be financed, but if you get somebody a little bit bigger, they'll give you more money. So I always want, you know, I don't want to like take that away from their pressure, their financial pressure on their side. But it's so much easier when you go to somebody and say, yeah, you know, I just talked to, you know, or I just made an offer to this, you know, George Clooney or whatever, and he turned it down. And for this reason, you know, maybe he wants to spend time with his family, you know, and it's like, then you go back and you're like, oh, okay. So then we won't even, you know, go down that road, because we know that's what he's thinking. So it's just easier when you have people who are a little bit more open.
Well, because then you're collaborating, right? Then you feel like you're part of the process, not just like a cog in the machine.
Yeah. And
do you feel like that's been a shift? I mean, do you feel, obviously casting hasn't really changed, and maybe some of the processes have changed in terms of being more digital, but in terms of the involvement in the creative process, it's still what it was. But do you feel like there's a little bit more, again, for a lack of a term, appreciation for what casting does, if not just within the industry, but outwardly? And there's still ways to go, but I'm talking about compared to 5, 10 years
ago. Yeah, I don't know if there's an I feel like appreciation is the wrong word, because, and this is speaking as somebody who, I mean, I'm very new to being a casting director in the sense that I was working for people, and I would always be shocked at how undervalued like my old bosses were and stuff, and how people would just take credit for their ideas or whatnot. But I do think there's something to be said where they are, like, people are becoming more vocal, where I think you kind of have two different kinds of casting directors in my experience. You have the ones who are willing to speak their mind, say their opinion, and be a part of the creative process. And then you have the casting directors who just kind of sit back and want to be a cog in the wheel and just say, yep, okay, that's what you want. Great. That's what we're going to do. And they just, and I don't think either way is wrong, honestly. I just think it's very different. And I think the people who are more vocal, I think that part is becoming more apparent, in the sense that because producers or directors can't go and just like meet with an actor to see if they're right for the role, they rely on us and our relationships with actors that we've built over the years or watched or, you know, things like that to give them opinions on how people actually are, either, you know, their demeanor on set, you know, how they take notes, like things like that. And that's where, you know, the more experience you have with actors in a room and or like just even with their, you know, on-screen experience, I've noticed that shift where I get asked a lot more of like, well, what do you think about them in this respect, XYZ, you know, because they don't have that frame of reference. And I think maybe hopefully that'll turn into appreciation at some point. But I think that's the biggest shift I've noticed is they actually ask now, because before either they were in the room with them or they were just kind of in a social situation where they could find out. And now they can't.
So do you think that a lot of that is down to pandemic COVID lockdown, or do you think that that was happening anyway?
No, I definitely think it was more pandemic related. Right. Because again, even if they went to, you know, a screening of a show or some, you know, Hollywood event and they just happen to meet this actor, it's like, then they would be like, oh, this person's great. And then it's like, but even if we came back and said, oh, they're great for, you know, comedy, but we're doing a serious, you know, drama and I just don't, you know, and I have all this experience reading them for drama and they just can't hit certain beats or something like that. They're just like, no, let's do it anyway. Because I met them. And it's, you know, so there's some of that. And that's a very weird kind of specific example. But with COVID, because they can't meet with people other than Zoom, and Zoom is a bit more, you know, not or less personal. So it's like, you can't, I mean, you can talk to somebody over Zoom, but can you really connect with somebody? Like, you know, in a sense that like, they're going to be the lead of your film and you are pinning all your hopes and dreams on them. I don't know. Like, so I think that's where they kind of rely on casting a bit more because of the pandemic. And it'll be interesting to see what happens in the future. Open more up.
For sure. And for you, like, obviously, what I like is you're talking about the long game from the relationships you have with people on every side of it, right? But from the actor's side, some might come in, one audition, never met you before, and I'm sure they'll get a job. But in many cases, it's you knowing who they are from a performance perspective in different ways in terms of, yeah, their demeanor on set. And so that's not an overnight thing. Now, with what's gone on, and to your point, the fact that we don't have in-person stuff as much, if at all, yet, how have you found that process and navigating that when it comes to trying to connect with newer actors that you aren't familiar with, and sort of how would an actor in that situation who doesn't know a casting person that well yet try to best portray, you know, who they are outside of just the, you know, few pages that they get to do, because it's very different.
It is. It's very hard. Honestly, like, I can't lie. It's almost impossible during this time to, like, get, and it's one of the most common, like, questions I get asked right now, is how can I meet more at casting directors, or how can I get on people's radar? And it's really almost impossible, because it's, I shouldn't say impossible, but it's very hard, because unless it's like, you know, a long-standing TV show where they just constantly bring in new people because they've used so many actors in their span, it's hard, because right now we have to trust our instincts and go with who we know is going to go on set and not, you know, have a temper tantrum, or, you know, just people that we know are right for it. And so, and I'm a firm believer in in-person auditions. Like, I miss them very, very much. It was one of my favorite things. But I will say the one thing I've been doing more of and trying to is, well, two things. One, I've been teaching a lot more classes, mm-hmm. to try to get more of a knowledge of newer actors. And then on top of it, I also started, I brought in somebody to help me with like social media so that I can do contests and things like that, so that I can see what's out there and kind of get to know people better. And so that's where, I mean, I tried to think a little bit outside the box during this time, because it's really hard to even to the fact of like, I can't, you know, again, we can't go to events where, you know, the star might be there, but then you have all the, you know, supporting roles that you had never met before, and you can go, you know, mingle and like meet them and, you know, have a sense about them and kind of, and that's where a lot of newer actors came into play for me prior to COVID. So. Mm-hmm. It's been hard, and I don't want to sugarcoat it, because it's really not the easiest thing right now. And I've been getting so many like cold emails of like, hey, I'm so-and-so from, and I'm just like, I can't do much with this right now, honestly, because I don't know you and I can't meet you. So I'm not going to just start, you know, auditioning you based off like one email that you sent me. So,
sure. And I suppose if you were going to bring someone in that you don't know yet, that would be through, again, the relationship with agent, manager, who's going to vouch, mm-hmm. for them, and they'd be, yeah. I'm guessing, you know, a one or a two of many that you'd, you know, be auditioning, but the many, it'd be more known people to you already, I guess.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, we did do on this last film I just finished, we did do, again, it was a very large cast. So it was like I had to open up, but a lot of it just comes, you know, again, it's self-tapes, not in person. So I will tend to like bring in like actors from, like, I might not know if they look right for whatever I'm looking for at the time. And this one I finished up was based, like, a lot of people were based off real people in life. And so if you happen to look like that person, I would take a shot at somebody I didn't know. But that's a very rare case of if I'm just casting a fictional character and I'm always going to probably bring in, especially right now, the people I know and have read, and, you know, I know that they can take notes and stuff like that. And it's not to say that, you know, I don't believe other actors can do that. It's just I've never seen it. So, you know, it's my reputation on the line, too. So.
Well, yeah, there's that, right? Like, at the end of the day, it's from the business side. It's you're having to vouch for someone, and you want to know that they can hit a home run for you, at least, or at least, you know, get to first base or something, right? Like, not strike out with it. So for actors listening to that, to your point, you're not sugarcoating it, which is great. But also for actors that are like, the question that you're getting all the time, how do I get on someone's radar? How do I get on that rung in a time when people are going to go with the people that they know more often than not? That could feel deflating. That could definitely come across that way, but that doesn't mean that there's not stuff that they could be doing. So I guess you mentioned the classes that you've done and the stuff you've done with social media. Like, what have you learned by doing that, that you can maybe parlay into some kind of advice for maybe not new or green actors necessarily, only them, but ones that don't have the connections with casting offices? How can they, in this weird time, try and be busy and do work that's going to help empower them to get to that space eventually?
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting because I think it's a hard thing for me because, one, I know actors have to pay to take classes. So, and again, we're coming out of a pandemic where a lot of people didn't work. So it's like, I don't want to afford, like, somebody asked me recently, an actor was like, should I spend $500 to go take this one class? I need to know if I'm going to spend $500 to do this, like, it's going to help me in some way. And I'm like, I wouldn't, like, and I don't know whose class it was. I don't know what it was about, but I just was like, if you feel that uncomfortable about spending that money, I would much rather you save that for rent. Because I do think the one thing that keeps getting overlooked during this time is that, not that COVID will go away, but it will end. Like, eventually things will go back to being, we can be in person. Like, this is not a forever thing. To me, it's lasted longer than I anticipated. Don't get me wrong. I didn't think it would be 2 years of our lives gone, but I do think that we will get to a point where we can go back to in-person auditions and we can go back to networking and having events and stuff like that. So I think it's something where if you can just kind of remember in your mind that this is a finite period of time, and it's hard. And again, it happens to me all the time. Where, like, I'm not checking in with my contacts enough. I'm not watching enough TV to, like, know more actors. And it's like, you could get really in your head about it. But I will say the one thing, I guess, maybe to be more active is just to kind of scour those things. Cause I know a lot of casting directors are kind of in the same boat as me, where, like, we're just bummed that we can't meet more people and have that interaction. So yeah, if you can, like, go online, and I know, like, a lot of studios that do classes, make sure you do the reputable ones, please. But like, do classes, because that is one of those things that, like, will get you on the radar that maybe are a little bit more, you know, cost effective. And then also just kind of, like, try to use your relationships that you already had prior to COVID. So if you had a relationship with two casting directors, you know, go, you know, check in with them more than cold calling the other 10, because in my experience, and maybe some people are different, but I don't really respond to, like, the cold emails. And, like, I was like, I don't know you, or, you know, it seems a little amateurish to me, because I'm like, well, why would I bring you in when I've never met you in my entire life? Like, that seems like a bigger risk over me calling my friend who's an agent and being like, who do you have who's new? Who, like, so, I mean, reach out to your agent, you know, or manager if you have one, and try to see what they know of that might be happening. And, I know a lot of my friends who are actors have been doing, like, you know, more of the smaller scale stuff of, like, just trying to stay active. And, you know, because I do think that's something that, and it's not me saying, like, go do smaller things, because I've done the same thing. Like, I've taken projects that are much smaller than I've done in the past, you know, probably, you know, some of it was like, yeah, this is a great script. Plus I have, like, I haven't worked and why not? Like, you know, and if it were real times and I was busy, I probably would have said, no, this isn't, you know, this is too much work and I don't have enough time to give to this. But because you're kind of in this way, like, might as well just go and brush up on your, you know, keep your active, your acting muscles loose. And you know what I mean? Just because when things do open up or when you get that audition from somebody you weren't expecting, at least then you're more prepared and you just haven't been sitting here for 2 years being like, what can I do? What can I do? What can I do?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think that idea of work begets work, and work doesn't just have to be like on the big TV show or the major film. It can be smaller stuff and just honing that craft. So definitely, I think there has been a lot of that going on though, I think with workshops and actors kind of making their own work and trying to be busy and then, you know, having something to talk about and maybe build a bridge of connection with. I just want to kind of go back to one of the things you mentioned there around, you know, like maybe having the agent reach out or make the connection, and not having people reach out about something because you don't know them and they might not be right for that role. So just to clarify, and this is obviously just your personal preference, are you saying that you prefer to not have actors reach out about a specific role or project or breakdown only, but that you would happily have them reach out around just introducing themselves and not having like a give me something vibe about them, but more of a here's my demo reel, just leaving it with you. I don't want anything.
Yeah, I will say, so here's it. Let me clarify that, because it's one of those things where I don't think it's something where I don't want them to email it or reach, because also I understand that, you know, the actor side of it of like, that's how, you know, some people choose to try to network. My side is I probably won't respond to that.
Sure.
Like, I just, you know, you can send it. Great. If I look at it, it's a 50-50 shot. And if I, like, I just, I don't really think I like to bring in new actors based off that. Like, I would like a little something more of like some kind of personal connection. And to that point, which is a little off point, but like kind of tied into it, is like, I really, I believe that, you know, we can, like, I never want to cast like people who just want to be famous or things like that. I want to cast people who really believe in what they're doing, who are, you know, nice people and stuff like that. And it's like, I really try to, just because Hollywood is so iffy on whether you're dealing with a good person or, you know, somebody who's shitty or something like that, I would love to, like, if I had the choice between two people who gave the exact same read and this person's a lot nicer, I'm always going to go with the nicer person. So when you cold email or, you know, shoot at me a DM or something like that, it's like, great, but like, I don't know you. And I, yeah, exactly. And I'm like, I don't want to put somebody who, cause I'm a huge, huge advocate of kindness and being a good person. And I think that's been lost in Hollywood, cause everyone's willing to just kind of like, oh, they're a shitty person. Oh, that's okay. Like, let's, as long as they get this done. And I'm like, no, I would much rather, like, let's just go do a little extra work and find somebody who's really kind and good and wants to, you know, better the world in some small way. Not that I think Hollywood can change the world, but you know, like, I would much rather promote kindness and being a good person rather than, you know, and I can't get that from, you know, I don't, and I'm not saying, again, I'm not saying that people who just cold email are not good people, but it's like, I want to know that before put you forward or something. Yeah.
Again, it goes back to your reputation, right? Because indirectly, it's going to reflect on you and on the agent and on the reps of that person if they go on set and then have some kind of weird moment where they just end up being a complete asshole or something and make the experience horrible for other people. And no, I mean, I think when you're contained in such a small space with a lot of people that you don't necessarily know that well on a set, and you have to then do what can be very vulnerable, intimate moments, or, you know, even in the comedies, there's still deep, profound connections where you're spending a lot of time with people. You want to feel like 9 times out of 10, you can at least get along with each other and be respectful. And it's kind of nuts to think that that's even a conversation to have, like that people wouldn't be like that. But, you know, I'm with you. I get it. I do get it.
Yeah. And I mean, it's one of those things where, it just is, you know, I've heard so many stories come back to me from set where it's like, oh, this person, like this one girl who we, and this is a specific example, but this one girl who we cast went to the star and was like, I could do your job. And it's like, I'm sorry, you have a two line role and you're talking to the lead. And it made, and it was one of those things where it was like, our lead was like super nice about it and was just like, okay, you like, you know, yeah. But I was like, do you think that helps? Do you think that makes it like better? And so our, you know, I got a call from our director who was like, it's just like really weird. Like, and you're just like, what were you thinking? Like, you know, and it's, again, it's, and it stopped me from bringing her in, you know, in the future, sure. You know, cause I'm like, if you're going to go up to like a star and just say, you know, I can do this and like make everyone uncomfortable, like why would I bring you in when I have thousands of other actors who probably won't go up and make that awkward situation and make things tense on set?
Yeah. And also, like, we all know that to get even a co-star isn't necessarily super easy. Like, there's a lot of actors, there's only a certain number of roles. To get that is an awesome kind of start for people to build a resume, but it's not easy. So why would you shoot yourself in the foot by not being grateful on set? And kind of, I don't like the idea of hierarchies, but there clearly are hierarchies. So it is kind of knowing your position in the totem pole, being respectful, but not being a pushover, but not shooting yourself in the foot, because it probably took forever, a long time to get that opportunity in the first place. So it's weird. Yeah. That's weird.
Exactly. It always, you know, it's always really interesting to me is to like kind of watch the evolution of actors, because you kind of see it go both ways. We're like, I've seen now with quite a few who have like, they kind of came into the industry when I came in, you know, they're younger. Like, it's just like, they weren't as experienced. And then we kind of grew together. And they always go there. There's always that middle ground of like, once you start like recurring on a show, or you might get, you know, a bigger role in a small movie or something like that. And they're around that energy of like, not that I made it, but like, okay, I've moved up in the world to now where I'm not just like hustling all the time. And, you know, people want to read me, like people are calling to reach out. And I think it's a mixture of like, one, people in their life telling them, oh, you're cool now, like you've made it. Also, like, you know, agents and managers, not to knock them because I know it's part of their job, but like sometimes they'll be like, oh, now you had this big role in, you know, a Marvel movie or something, like let's make you offer only because that'll make entice you to be, you know, and we're not going to let you read. And it's like one of those things that I've never quite understood, because, and maybe it's the actor's choice too, where they're like, you know, oh, I've heard that once you hit this level you don't have to read anymore, or I don't have to be, you know, XYZ. But then you have the actors who come in and they have that passion. And it's like, there's this one kid who I've known forever, who kind of, his star is now huge over the past, like over, he killed it during COVID, and his, now he's a known name. And it's like, but he still reads, like anytime, he just wants to work. He loves it. He just, he was always my go-to guy of like, if I couldn't find something, or he didn't care about the money, he didn't care. He's like, I just want to work. I want to work in such a way that like, and he had the foundation of like, I mean, he was really good. So it was one of those things where if I needed somebody to come in and work for scale for a day and just kill a role, he would be one of my first calls, because I was like, I know he'll do it and he'll read. And but he made that very apparent to his reps and to everybody that here's what I want in life. Like, don't, you know, I don't want to be offer only. I don't want you to say no to the small, no budget thing, because at least give me that opportunity.
But the interesting thing about that sounds like it's someone who knows or had a reasonably strong idea of what they wanted for themselves, as opposed to maybe having other people say this is how it is or how it should be, or kind of figuring it out on the fly. I think there's something to be said about at whatever age having some degree of clarity of kind of going, I'm doing this because of the craft and I want to tell these kinds of stories, so you kind of know your lane and how wide or narrow it is, as opposed to not, and just having other people's opinions thrown at you and trusting them because they have more experience, maybe. No, but I can see how it would happen, but I also think a lot of that sounds like it may be very much an LA centric thing. And I'm not sure how true that is, but
it's very true.
I mean, from just being in LA myself, I know that there is a big bucket of people that are all about the craft and just want to do the work. But there's another side that is, you know, looking for something else, which is okay, but it's two different things. And that's not like, that's not very prevalent, say in London. I mean, there's bits of it, but it's not to the point that a casting person would have this conversation. Put it that way.
No. Honestly, like prior to COVID, like, you know, we would have generals and stuff with people from London. And I would always be like, wow, you are so much more well-grounded. And I think, and I don't want to like leave this to only actors too. I think LA has a way of getting in people's head and twisting things to make it seem a lot more important than it is. And so, and you're, you know, who you are and what you are. And I've seen it across the board in multiple different, you know, departments on productions where you work as, you know, a grip on, you know, a Marvel movie. And then you're like, oh, I'm hot shit. Like, you know, I mean, it's like one of those things where it's like, it's a status thing in Hollywood that it's just not anywhere else in the world. And I agree. I think London actors, I always say this to actors too. I'm like, go to London and talk to actors because you will then see the difference. Like they are trained very differently than like in America, especially the ones who moved to LA or, you know, whatever. It's really like, you're like, I want to be an actor. You're like, you know, and it's not that say that's not your calling, but that's all it takes is you saying, I want to be an actor. There, they have to train for years and have, you know, everyone gets kind of weeded out. And then after they've trained and everything, that's when they get an agent. It's not because they did a TikTok video or they did, you know, like they just moved to LA with a hope and a dream. And, you know, some people, I do think sometimes actors can think it's their passion. But I don't think, especially in LA, I think it's lesser. So I think a lot of people just want to be famous, and have that like credibility to their name.
Well, that's a life thing though, right, Jen? Like that's sort of a, you get to a certain amount of experience in life, which could come at any age, but obviously age helps. And you, yeah, you'd like to think there's more perspective on, you know, once you hit a certain point, you're like, actually, I don't really want that, but I still do enjoy that. And that's the thing.
Yeah.
And I guess to your point, leaving the bubble, right? Taking those vacations probably helps a little bit.
Yeah. And I honestly, it's one of those things too, where I've seen actors leave for a while and then come back when they're 50 and they do so much better because it is, they've come to that realization of this is really what I love. Where I think sometimes, no matter what stage in life, if you're still, you know, at it, it can just become a little marred in LA of like, oh, do I really, am I really doing this because I love it? And part of that comes from my perspective of, are you doing it because you love it or do you do it because you want the notoriety? Because if you really love it, why won't you do this smaller, really cool thing? And, or you're letting, you know, again, one of my biggest questions I get asked and the advice I give is, okay, make sure, look, for actors is make sure you are hands-on with your career. Like I would never like hand over my choices of what movies I take or what projects I take to somebody else. Like this is my career, my thing. And I see actors so much just go with their agents and go with what their managers say. And I get that, you know, because there's such a high volume of actors in LA, that it can be scary and you're like, I just need guidance. And but it's like the ones who actually are active, because I'll never forget, I was at a party a few years ago and I ran into an actor who was like, no, no, like semi well known, like I know him, but I'm like, I don't think my mom would know him. And I ran into him and I was just like, man, I was like, and I hadn't seen him in a while. So I was like, we were catching up and I said, yeah, you've passed on like three of my movies lately. I'm like, what are you doing in life that you can pass on three of my movies? And I was like, and also it's weird because I was like, we're kind of friendly. So like, how does this happen? And he's like, I never even heard about it. He's like, I didn't pass on your movies. And I literally at the party pulled up my phone and I was like, here's the email from your agent saying you pass on this one. Pull up another, you pass on this one. And he was like, I didn't even know. He's like, I said, well, did you give your agent the right to pass on things that he didn't think were right for you? He's like, well, yeah, of course, but I didn't think they were going to pass on like these kind of things. And I'm just like, it blows my mind. I'm like, why would you ever let somebody do that? Wow. I would never let somebody dictate that in my world. So
it's like letting somebody be the signatory on all your finances and just letting them spend your money without you knowing what they're doing. It's, exactly. You know, that's, again, though, that sort of goes back to fully kind of having a good idea of what it is that you want to do or your career to look like. And whilst you can't maybe control that to the nth degree, I don't know. I feel like that's a big part of the work that's not implicitly maybe craft based because it's not craft, but it's still a big part of the job, like to really go introspectively and ask the questions to yourself as an artist, like what stories do I want to tell? What kind of work do I want to do? What would that look like? And I don't know. I don't know if that's been a prevalent conversation point in the past for actors. I think it's easy, like you say, to just go in, do class, go and start getting on the wheel of audition, and you don't take the time sometimes to think about, but wait, like, what the fuck do I actually want to do? Because I'll blink and be 60 and then maybe not done anything that I even enjoy. And I think, yeah, you're so right. Like, it's everyone's individual career. So why would you give the keys to the car to someone else?
Yeah. And I don't want to knock agents and managers because they do. And I have very good friends who are them. But it is one of those things where, like, I try to create a little bit more of a realistic view because, again, actors put so much weight into agents and managers. Again, one of the most common questions I get is, do you like this person? What about this agency?
I love, by the way, Jen, that you're just asking questions to yourself and I've not really asked you many at all. It's great. It's like, I'm just going to chill. I'll just have a drink. Jen's going to just ask this. No, I love it. It's great because I'm like, these are all these great questions that I don't have to ask because Jen's already doing it. No, but it's good because clearly it comes up a lot. Like, I don't want to not have you answer them, but I also don't want to answer the same kind of rota questions that people probably ask all the time because I want new perspectives of what you're about. But with this one, I think, it does come up a lot. Yeah, like, who should I go with for this headshot or for this rep? And it's kind of a personal thing, though, right? Like, do you vibe with
them? Exactly. Yeah. And I will say the only reason I bring it up is because I don't really, like, again, it's like, who do you like? And who do you put, like, the weight into? Because I think, especially when you're starting out as an actor, you probably put a little too much weight into your agents and managers and to what they're saying you need to do. And I don't know how to fix that, honestly, because if you don't know what you're doing, you don't know where else to go for the information. But again, maybe hopefully getting the word out more will change that, but you just never know.
Well, I mean, this is kind of a question I've asked a lot over people over the past few years, which is more around, again, that mindset element, because I think that's what it indirectly boils down to. But again, I don't think there is an answer to your point on how you actually do that, because it's different for everybody. Like, life experience and taking time to actually nurture, you know, your self-awareness, which is kind of totally aside from acting, but also completely related at the same time. And again, I've been there. We all have. When you start out, you get on the hamster wheel and you think you have to do all these things, and maybe you do, but I think there needs to be, to your point, less false idols, I suppose, in terms of putting all of the power into something else. I do think the pandemic's changed that. I do think, you know, having more people like yourself talking, whether it's on forums, podcasts, Q&As, workshops, has, I think, let a lot of actors really see the veil drop a little bit and not feel like all of the power is with someone else. And that whole, you know, like, casting is the gatekeeper, you know, all that stuff. Yeah. So hopefully it's changing a little.
Yeah, I agree. I think it is.
Okay, I like to wrap these things up with questions because I've not asked any. I'm joking. I'm just messing with you, but I'm enjoying messing with you. I take 10 quick fire questions that I've stolen from inside the actor studio because all good art is theft. So I'm just going to ask them whatever comes to mind. Just go with whatever your instinct is on the answer. So the first question is, what is your favorite word?
Your favorite word?
Yeah.
I have no idea. I have the pineapple.
Okay. Let's go with pineapple. What's your least favorite word?
Oh, negative.
Okay. What turns you on creatively?
Like, quality people with a good script.
And what turns you off?
Mean people.
I got that vibe a lot from the conversation. But I think, you know, that should be a life thing. The next question is optional, but it is, what's your favorite curse word? So if you're not into cursing, you can skip it. Or you can curse your head off.
Oh, I hope my mom doesn't listen.
I was going to send this to her directly after the...
I'll be getting a phone call. honestly, it's probably shit. I say it a lot.
What's your favorite sound or noise? I forgot the questions. What's your favorite sound or noise?
Oh, my favorite sound or noise is probably like the ocean. It's kind of my soothing place.
One of the benefits of LA that you at least have on the doorstep. Yeah. What's your least favorite sound?
Cars honking.
That's the other side of LA. What job or profession, other than your own or ones you've already done, would you most like to attempt?
Oh, gosh. The funny thing is I've tried a lot of different things in my life. So,
okay.
Yeah, I was supposed to be a baby nurse. I was supposed to be a NICU nurse. So that was my first attempt of something outside the industry. So probably that probably that.
Very different kind of thing to obviously what you're doing now. Like,
yeah.
How did you go from one to the other?
To make a very long story short, I actually always wanted to be in entertainment, but I went to a private high school that was super small, very, remote. And my advisors told me that the entertainment industry was not an attainable goal. So she was like, you need to find something more realistic. And my grandmother was a nurse and I had always heard about it. So I was like, I'll try it. And so my first 2.5 years of college, I was a nursing student. And then I got into like practicals and I started shadowing somebody that I knew who worked in labor and delivery. And one, I almost passed out when I first saw my first baby delivered. And so I was like, well, that's probably not good. And also I started to have a real huge aversion to needles. I couldn't watch the needles going in.
Okay.
And so I finally, that was when I switched. I was like, I can't do this anymore. I don't think I'll ever get over this fear.
Yeah, that'd do it. Those are two things you're probably going to be around a lot in that line of work as well, right? Also, like, way to go school for crushing dreams early.
I know. I was like, I'll never forget that advisor either, because I'm like, I just couldn't believe, like, now being an adult, but looking back, I'm like, how would you tell, like, a 16-year-old, like, that's not, I mean, you can say it's hard. It's going to be a hard road, and, like, it's not like you just go get a degree and become a casting director, I wanted to be a producer when I first started, but like, it's, you can just go do that. It's like, it's,
yeah,
no, you can't. That's, you can't do that at all.
Yeah. That's super narrow-minded and like just limits you to having at 16. You can mess up a gazillion times and try different stuff and still be more than fine. But, so the next question is, what job or profession would you never want to attempt? And I'm going to say, is it a career advisor or is that just one individual career?
One, I don't think I would ever be qualified to do that. I honestly think like my least, like anything that requires being like monotony of like just sitting behind a desk all day is something I can't, like I would, it just would suck my soul out. So.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's what it does to most people. Just, I think a lot are happy to go along with it. Final question, a little bit more ethereal. It's, when it's all said and done, what would you like the story of your life to be? What kind of legacy would you like to leave
behind? Oh, that's a cool question. I honestly, so I am religious and I hope that I make God proud. Like that's all I want, is I want to be remembered as like a good person that, like, you know, and I can be tough. I can be harsh. I can be mean. But I want to be fair. I want to be that person who just like, everyone was like, hey, you know, she was a tough egg, but she, you know, she never lied, she never stole, she never, you know, it was just, I want to be who I am and be open about that. And yeah.
Awesome. I love that. Well, listen, Jen, it's been a blast chatting with you.
Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. I always give the last kind of word to the guests. So I'll leave it with you if you want to let people know where they can connect with you online, on the socials, if you want to. And I guess really, you know, if there was a final message or thought you want to leave people with after our chat that might encapsulate it, whatever that is for you, like what would be the final thought? I have an idea of what it might be, but I'm going to see if you surprise me.
Something I've already said about 10 times. So.
Maybe.
No, so you can reach me. I'm pretty accessible. I actually have 2 Instagram accounts. My personal account is just my name, Jen Presser. It's literally nothing business related though, I will say. It's all my travels. It's mostly for my mom. You know, like, so she can know where I am in the world at all times. And then I have my business account, which is Breakaway Casting. And that is where I kind of update things. That's where I'll do my contests. Like, I just kind of, and I've started again, it's a new COVID thing for me, but that's where I've started to connect with the most people, in this time. And then, or you can email me, my email's online. So you can email me. Again, I don't always really respond that much, but, so yeah, that's the way you can keep in touch. And yeah, I will say it a million times until people start listening, but I will always say, be kind to one another, because that's the only way we will ever get anything done in this world. I don't respond to meanness at all. So
amazing.
That is my final thought.